Chapter 47, The Inevitable Result of Impartial Mentation. Beelzebub would have said more, but just then everything was suddenly lit up and permeated by a pale blue something. From that moment, the speed of falling of the ship Carnot began to decrease perceptibly. This meant that in this sphere of the universe, one of the great cosmic Aegolionoptes had appeared and was about to come alongside the spaceship Carnac. And indeed, although the transparent outer walls of the Carnac, the source of that pale blue something, soon became visible, lighting up not only the whole interior of the ship, but also the space of the universe around this great cosmic Aegolionopti, as far as the ordinary vision of beings could reach. In the whole universe, there are only four of these great Aegolionoptes, and each of them is under the direction of one of the four all-quarters maintainers of the universe. A hurried and somewhat anxious commotion spread among the beings aboard the Carnac, and in a short time, all the passengers and crew assembled in the main hall in the center of the ship. Each of them bore a bunch of myrtle in one hand and a Dirzel Eshet in the other. When the great cosmic Aegolionopti had come alongside, certain partitions of the ship Carnac were moved apart in a special way and there passed from the Aegolionopti into the main hall of the ship. A procession composed of several archangels with a multitude of angels, cherubim, and seraphim, and they too carried branches in their hands, but theirs were of palm. At the head of the procession walked a venerable archangel, immediately followed by two cherubim, solemnly carrying a casket from which radiated something orange. In front of everyone, in the main hall of the ship Carnac, stood Beelzebub, and behind him were ranged his kinsmen and the captain of the ship, and behind them stood all the others at a respectable distance. When the procession from the Aegolionopti drew near the beings of Beelzebub's nature, who were assembled in expectation, it halted, and the two groups of three-brained beings of different natures joined in singing the hymn to his endlessness that is always sung on such occasions everywhere in the universe by beings of all natures and all forms of exterior coating. This hymn has the following words: Thou long patient creator of all that breathes, thou abundantly loving cause of all that exists, thou unique vanquisher of the merciless Herapath, now to the sound of our exultation rejoice and abide in beatitude. By thy unprecedented labors, thou hast given us the source of our arising. By thy vanquishing of the Herapath, thou hast opened to us the possibility of perfecting ourselves to the sacred Anclad, and now only rest, as thou hast merited. We, in gratitude, will maintain all thou hast created, and always and in everything will extol thee forever. Extol thee, Master Creator, thou the beginning of all ends, thou proceeding from infinity, thou who has the end of all things within thyself, thou our endless endlessness. After the hymn had been sung, the venerable archangel, who was at the head of the procession, approached Beelzebub and solemnly proclaimed, "By the decree of his all quarters maintainer, the arch cherub Pesht Vogner, and bearing his own sacred rod, we appear before you, your right reverence, in order to restore to you, in accordance with the pardon granted you from above, and for certain of your merits, that which you lost during your exile, your horns." Having said this, the venerable archangel turned toward the casket borne by the cherubim, and with profound reverence carefully took from it the sacred rod. Meanwhile, those present kneeled down on one knee while the angels and the cherubim began to sing the appropriate sacred canticles. With the sacred rod in his hand, the archangel turned again toward Beelzebub and spoke thus to the beings of Beelzebub's nature. "Beings created by our uni-being endlessness, who, by his infinite grace, has pardoned the once-erring being Beelzebub, who will again exist among you, beings like himself, as the virility and degree of reason of beings of your nature are defined and manifested by the horns on your head, we must, with the permission of our all-quarters maintainer and with your help, restore the horns lost by Beelzebub. Beings created by our one common Father, your help will consist in this, that each of you should consent to renounce, on behalf of Beelzebub's merited pardon, certain particles of your own horns. Therefore, whoever consents and wishes to do so, let him approach the sacred rod and touch its handle. On the length of time the handle of this sacred rod is held will depend the quantity of active elements passing from your own horns for forming corresponding horns on this pardoned being of your nature." Having said this, the venerable archangel, holding the chief end of the sacred rod, that is, the ball over the kneeling Beelzebub, turned the handle toward those there assembled so that whoever wished might come and touch it. Soon as the venerable archangel had finished speaking, a very great commotion began among the beings of Beelzebub's nature, each one desiring to come nearer and be the first to hold the sacred rod for as long as possible. Order was soon established, however, and each one approached in turn and held the handle for as long as was indicated by the captain of the ship, who had taken upon himself the direction of the ceremony. During this solemn sacred action, horns began to grow, little by little, upon the head of Beelzebub. At first, while just the bare horns were taking shape, only a grave and concentrated quiet prevailed among those assembled. But from the moment the forks began to appear upon the horns, a tense interest and rapt attention was manifested among them. And this was because everybody was stirred by the wish to learn how many forks would make their appearance on Beelzebub, since their number would indicate, in keeping with the sacred nature of objective reason, the gradation to which Beelzebub had attained. First one fork was framed, then another, and then a third, and as each fork made its appearance, a clearly perceptible thrill of joy and profound satisfaction was evoked in all those present. When a fourth fork began to appear on the horns, the tension among those assembled reached its height, since the formation of a fourth fork signified that the reason of Beelzebub had already been perfected up to the sacred Ternunald, and hence there remained for Beelzebub only two gradations before attaining to the sacred Anclad. As this unusual ceremony was nearing an end, and before all the participants had time to recover their self-possession after their earlier joyful agitation, suddenly, on Beelzebub's horns there appeared, of itself, a fifth fork of a special form known to them all. Thereupon, all, without exception, even the venerable archangel himself, fell prostrate before Beelzebub, who had risen to his feet and stood transfigured in the grandeur conferred on him by the truly majestic horns which had arisen on his head. And all fell prostrate before Beelzebub because the fifth fork on the horns indicated that he had attained the reason of the sacred Polkalad, which is the last gradation of reason before the sacred Anclad. The reason of the sacred Anclad is the highest to which, in general, any being can attain. It is the third in degree from the absolute reason of his endlessness himself. But the reason of the sacred Podkulad, to which Beelzebub had perfected himself, is also very rare in the universe. Here, even the venerable archangel prostrated himself before Beelzebub, for the degree of his own reason was as yet only that of the sacred Deginlad, that is, 3 degrees below that of the reason of the sacred Anclad. When they had all risen to their feet, the venerable archangel, this time addressing all the assembled beings of different natures, proclaimed, "Beings created by one Creator, we have just been worthy to be the first to behold the fulfillment of that which is the dream of all those present, as it is of all beings in the whole of our great megalocosmos. And now, let us rejoice together and sing in exultation over this privilege, which is a revivifying shock for our power to struggle against our own denying source, which power alone can lead us to that sacred Polkulad attained by this son of our common father, who, although he first transgressed on account of his youth, was afterwards able by his own conscious labor and intentional suffering to become worthy in his essence to be one of the very rare sacred Pulchrelades on the whole of our great universe. After this exhortation by the archangel, all the beings present on the spaceship Karnak began to sing the prescribed sacred canticle entitled, I Rejoice. And when this sacred canticle had been sung, all the angels and cherubims, with a venerable archangel at their head, returned to the cosmic Egolianopti, which then drew away from the ship Karnak and gradually disappeared into space, whereupon the passengers and crew dispersed to their various places, and the Karnak resumed its falling toward its destination.